It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful day. We're studying the book of Revelation. We're in Revelation chapter 2. We're going to begin with the 18th verse, and we're going to be on the church of Thyatira, and so that's the fourth church. So please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, verse 18, and we'll begin that study. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Our website is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. It is a great day. I hope that you enjoy this study as we continue to learn more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 18. And unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put unto you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give them the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come together and study. I just ask that you will show us your way and your will. Your precious word is so wonderful, and we need to search it and study it. Many today just want a version of the scripture that is comfortable to read. If you will take your time to study and to enjoy this word, Father, it is just so full, so powerful. But we know, dear Lord, first of all, you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you have come by faith to Jesus, then and then alone will we have the Holy Spirit to live within our hearts to teach us your way and your will. And we can come directly to you and fellowship with you and go, because, Father, of your Son, the Lord Jesus, we can come straight to you. Thank you, dear Father, for your saving power, that you've taken my sin away. And I thank you that the door is open to all. Your desire is that none should face hell. Everyone should be saved and should be born again. And you give that opportunity freely. It's a free gift. So please, dear Lord, help us now to search your word, know the way of salvation, and then begin to grow that we may look truly to you and not through some religion that we've been deceived with. So please, guide and lead us now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Church of Thyatira, as we look at these verses of Scripture here, I like to take just a little bit of time and kind of establish for you, it was great for me to do it, to look at the location. We find that Thyatira is of ancient Lydia on the road from Pergamon to Sardis, and from Pergamon to Thyatira is one of the most beautiful drives in all the world, it's been said. I have no idea how gorgeous it is and how it looks, but that's what the statement is made, that between these two cities, that it is the most beautiful, beautiful drive. It was established during the 3rd century B.C. It represents, again, we've talked about the church ages. Each one of them has a church age, and this is 500 to 1500 A.D., so it's 1,000 years in length. This city of Thyatira was built on a very key commercial highway. The Macedonian colonists formed guilds of weavers and dyers and of leather workers, metal craftsmen. And these goods that were prepared here in Thyatira were shipped all over the world, all over the known world at the time. We know that Lydia, Paul's first convert in Europe, was a clothes merchant from Thyatira who did business in Philippi. And we have that in Acts chapter 16, verse 14. The town population today is approximately 20,000. We start now with this 18th verse of Revelation chapter 2, and we get once again an explanation of our Lord. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. A further explanation again, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. It gives us a look of judgment on this one, doesn't it? We have back in the first chapter, verse 14, the last half of it, we have, and eyes were as a flame of fire. In the 15th verse, we have his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And so we have once again this explanation, and it does not stop short of telling us and explaining to us who is speaking here. The Spirit assures us, and the Church of Thyatira here, this assembly, this family, that it is the Son of God, it says. And unto the angel, the church of Thyatira, write, these things saith the Son of God. The head of the church is the Lord Jesus. We find that he stands in the midst of the assemblies, in the midst of the churches, and he is speaking this message directly to them. And so we have the seven churches, and as we look at these seven churches, we find that this is the longest of all the messages, and this is the fourth message. It is the beginning of a second group. These seven messages are divided into two groups, three in the first, four in the second. The last four describe the church from this day until the rapture, from 500 A.D. all the way through to the rapture, is this last four. And again, that is the schedule that we're looking at, and it's very clear that the seven churches are seven church ages. Seven literal churches, seven physical churches, and seven churches that had these ways of worship, which some were good and some were not. As we look at these seven, now we have the last four, and again, this stretches from the year 500 all the way to the rapture of the church. And so these last four involve ourselves, which the last church is the church of Laodicea, and I believe that that's the church age we're in today. We are in the final stages, the final church age. The message to the assembly of Thyatira doesn't present hope and power and strength. Here's what it presents: hopelessness, helplessness. They're corrupt. The assembly is corrupt. The church is corrupt. It is a condition that this group will not come out of. They will not recover. there is the greatest step, the greatest step that caused this condition is that they allowed false teachers, the wicked, to teach. Now you think about that. You think about that. When you have someone that is not standing true to the Word of God teaching, it will destroy your church. Now, your church may be very, very large and seemingly very, very successful. Successful financially, successful in numbers. But I'm going to ask, where is the Lord Jesus in your church? Is he number one, or is your church strictly a social group that you do social activities? If it is, then please stop calling it a church and start calling it a country club or whatever you want to call it. But don't call it a church. The purpose of the church is to share the gospel, to see that folks are saved, and then to grow them that they will go out and share the gospel again. That's the purpose of the church. And so, yes, we take care of our own. If there are needs within the church, then those needs need to be met. The Scripture is very clear on how that is, with concerning widows, the orphans, things of that. But please, please, we have done so much. We have left the work of God, and we need to return. Well, one of those steps was made by this church of Thyatira in allowing the wicked to teach. This address comes to just the remnant, just the true believers. In other words, the Spirit of God, the Son of God, is not speaking to the whole church, because most of the church isn't even saved. It's just speaking only to those that have stayed true and faithful. And we have that down the 24th verse. But unto you I say, unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put unto you none other burden. So it's clear in that verse of Scripture that he is speaking only to those that are believers and have stayed true, which is a very small remnant. As many as have not this doctrine that it spoke of down here in the 24th verse, that doctrine is a doctrine of Jezebel. In the last four churches, the call is to the few that stayed faithful. As here in the church of Thyatira, they have stayed faithful, but it's a small, small group. And I'm afraid that that is the condition today. If you stay true to the Word of God, your numbers aren't going to be enormous. They're not going to be a great number, because there are so many that teach things contrary to the Word of God, and the world loves it. The devil loves us when we leave the truth, if we allow false teachers in. So please, that we stand for the Word of God and we stay true. This 18th verse here tells us the Son of God. This title is used here for the first time in the book of Revelation, and the last time, the Son of God. Now, as we look at these words, we find that the Lord Jesus has many titles or many names. The one most common is Jesus. Next is Lord. Another is the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, which we have here, Son of Man. Now, I've got a verse of Scripture, and you're probably hear this, or you should anyway, during the Christmas time. It is something that we should study all the time and be very familiar with, not just at Christmas, but Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We are only going to look at two of these. Again, we have born unto us a son is given. Government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Names we looked at above was Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man. The ones we're going to look at today is the Son of Man. Son of Man, the humanity of the Lord. This stands for his relationship to mankind, and that's what this title stands for, the relationship to man. As Son of God is his deity and gives us this tie, this close relationship to Almighty God. That's what's found here. So we have the Son of Man, which is the tie that God has with man, that Jesus has with man. And here, Son of God is the tie that Jesus has with his Father, the Son of God. So his glory and his relationship to the churches, as witnessed by John, is here, Son of God. But back in the 13th verse of chapter 1, is the Son of Man. Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about with paps with golden girdle. Why did he change his title to be Son of God? The only place, my friend, we'll ever find these answers is in the Word of God. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, I want you to listen very careful. The Church of Thyatira, historically covers a period known as the Dark Ages. You've heard of the Dark Ages? Well, that's the period of time that the Church of Thyatira is here. That's what happens when we have false teachers. During this time, we have, and we're going to take just a very brief look at this, but the Roman system is in place during this time. Rome has quite a rule over a very large area, and the system of worship and religion come about. And we find that it is coming into to known as the Dark Ages, one of the worst systems that was ever there. It was such a bad system that it was just really a disgrace to God and to God's people, the Christians. Coming back to what the problem is Jezebel. Jezebel holds the art of mixing images, mixing superstitions, mixing everything. And the only thing that Jezebel has to offer is she's a heathen. So the heathenism, and she has taken heathenism and Christianity and Judaism and mixed them all together. And that's what she was doing in the Church of Thyatira. Now, in your church, wherever you attend, whatever the name that's on the door, is it based upon the Word of God, or is it based upon tradition? And you love that tradition, well, how would you like to know that that tradition could have come from Jezebel? Because it would have come or could have come from different superstitions that the devil has, that he drives. It all stems from heathenism. If it is not in the Word of God, if it's not in the Word of God, then it comes from the devil. And Jezebel is a teacher of the devil's doctrine. But she figured out a way to do it. And that is, we're not going to throw out all the things that's in the Bible. We'll just mix it up a little bit. Well, it's just like in a glass of water. If you have a full, big, 16-ounce glass and you fill it plumb full of crystal clear water, and you take just a little pinch, just a little bit of dirt, and drop that into that glass, that whole glass is polluted. If you would take just a pinch of dirt, well, it's just not much. Go ahead and drink the water. You wouldn't drink it. Why do you worship? Why do you attend a church that would do that? And yet the bulk of the churches today have done that very thing. They are the churches of Jezebel. Maybe you're in one of those. He says, well, they don't, you know, some things they don't do. We worship images and we do a lot of things like that. And we have a lot of images in our church. Scripture is very clear. Don't. Don't do that. And yet we do. This system, during the Dark Ages, the purpose of this system, under this Roman system, was to take away the power and the authority of Jesus. As we have just said a few minutes ago, that Jesus is the head of the church. Here he stands in the midst of these assemblies. He is speaking directly to them. But the most important part of those statements was he is the head of the church. The head of the church. No other. No man. No pastor. No pope. No one takes the place of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And we need to hold to that. And that was one thing that Jezebel acquired, was able to do with her process here. She brought in teachings from every direction, and of course her sole purpose was to take away the power of the Lord Jesus. Now maybe this will be something that'll shock you or surprise you just a little bit, because they call this unity. We need to compromise. We need to get together. Well, that is a very ungodly statement, and it's not a scriptural statement. We stand upon the Word of God, and we don't bend from the Word of God. Now, the problem comes today that so many have done that, and I'm going to give you an example that in the Roman Catholic Church, they are taught to pray to Mary. Mary is the mother of Jesus. That in itself is a teaching that comes back through Jezebel. The speaking of to mix and to take, by mixing, they take the power away from the Son of God. You take the power away from the Son of God and you've lost all power. Jesus must be, has to be, is the leader, the head of the church. And when you take any level of authority, and if your church teaches that you cannot go directly to the Lord Jesus, they probably are not teaching salvation by grace either. Salvation by grace is a free gift. You come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him as your Savior. He comes into your heart and lives and guides you and directs you. Salvation is free. Also, not only salvation is free when you invite Him into your heart, but also He keeps you. He seals you. Now, almost all religions of the world have a problem with that. they have a problem in saying that once you come by faith to Jesus, you are saved and saved eternally. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. If there is nothing that you can do to save yourself, what is there that you can do to keep your salvation? It's a simple question. And there is nothing, anything I would do is as filthy rags, whether it's for my salvation or to keep my salvation. Nothing. Nothing I can do can bring that to me or could keep it for me. And you need to recognize that. Because so many, if not all that have compromised and have left preaching they preach this unity. They preach the compromise. They have brought in heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism all together. And by doing that, they have eliminated the power of God. And they also have taken the Lord Jesus from his throne and placed him at a lower level and put man in there. All we have to do is come by faith to Jesus Christ, and we need to stand on his truth. So you see, when mankind can come in and preach another gospel, a gospel that cannot save, you're doomed for hell. You're doomed for the lake of fire. And that's the only choice that you have. Please listen carefully today. This is not something that you have to come and be a member of this church, because you don't. What you need to do, though, is to recognize Jesus saves and Jesus keeps. When you come by faith to Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within your heart, and you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He seals you. He keeps you. And he will keep you through eternity, never to be lost again. So any works that you do is great. But we need to do it not to keep our salvation, but to please our God. So you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and by his grace you're saved. You ask him into your heart to save you. And then the walk begins. Will you stumble and fall? Yes. Do you lose your salvation? No. No. Now, this mixture of works and grace, this mixture of works and grace and law, because you see, we have heathenism, Christianity, and Judaism all mixed up together. And that's what is the doctrine of Jezebel. Now, so many today are compromising. Let's have two different song services, one that's traditional and one that's more modern. Let's do that. Let's compromise. Do you like it when I call you Jezebel? I don't think I would like it. I know I wouldn't. I'd hate it. I want to stand true to the Word of God. So you need to find where these traditions have come from. Maybe it's things that you really enjoy and really like. Well, that's, I guess, all right if you don't mind living in hell for the rest of your life after this one. There's only one way of salvation, and that's taught through this precious word here. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Study it and search it and know it to be true. There's a problem. Because when Jesus is removed by our decision to take him off of the throne, we have taken away all power, all means of salvation, everything. And so one day, when you die and leave this life, you're going to wake up in the place of torment awaiting your final home, and that's the lake of fire. Not because of some works that you did or didn't do. It's because you didn't come by faith to Jesus. It's that simple. Please, my dear friend, trust in Jesus. Look to the Lord Jesus for your saving power and your life. and him alone. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?